Holy Spirit is not just a force, but that he is in fact a person. I was just reading this thing on the internet. I was just doing some research about the Holy Spirit as a person. I got this very theological sounding site that's wanted to explain why the Holy Spirit is not a person. And I was like, what? I was really shocked by it. So I thought, I'm going to read this. I mean, it was just loaded with scripture and all that and all this explanation. And I went through the whole thing and I thought, man, this guy has no clue what he's talking about. He should not be putting this stuff out on the internet. His points were just wrong. So I only say that to say, you got to be careful. You know, people will put a lot of stuff out. You need to be able to look at the scriptures carefully and make sure you understand what the word is saying. So even when I give you things and I'm giving you scriptures, don't just take it at, you know, face value that that's what it means. You need to know for yourself. This is what, I mean, like when I was reading that, I was a little disturbed because I thought he did it so well that if you really weren't grounded in the word, you could absolutely buy into what he was saying.
If you didn't know the voice of the Lord, I should hear my voice.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. But I, you know, I have enough knowledge and understanding of the word that when I was reading that, I was able to go, that's not correct. That's not correct, you know. But I thought if someone didn't really know the word, they could be deceived by this. And I 100% believe he wasn't trying to deceive anyone. He believed what he was saying. But it was just wrong, you know. And he was even saying, I know all the theologians say that he is a person, but he's really not, you know. And then he went on to explain it. So anyhow, Mark chapter 4 talks about how the whole kingdom of God operates. And one of those is the stony ground. It says people receive word on the stony ground. They immediately receive it with gladness. But afterwards, because they have no root in themselves, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they fall. The fruit, the seed will never take root and grow. It says they have no root in themselves. And what that's referring to is you cannot just hear the word once and say, oh, praise the Lord, that's awesome, that's a great word. I mean, that's good, that's the starting point. That's how I get every single word I get. Wow, that's exciting, praise the Lord. But that's not going to change me. That's not going to transform me. And when something contrary to that comes into my ears or my eyes, I could easily fall to it. If I don't take the time to then go to that word, that door's been opened to me, that excitement hit me, it struck my heart like that's the truth, I need to now go and get that word and meditate in it and think about it and spend time in it, give the Holy Spirit time to germinate that word so that it takes root in me and begins to grow. And then when something like trials, tribulation, persecution come against it, like people saying, are you really one of those prosperity people? And they start using terminology that's got a sting on it and stuff, and you're like, I don't want to be identified with that. You don't fall back. You go, well, I mean, you can call it what you want, but yes, 100%, you know, because you are solid in the word. You're like, that's what the word says. You mean you're not? You know. So, you know, you got to get rooted in the word. So even now when I'm sharing some of these things, just keep in mind, there are other people that believe things differently. You need to know for yourself, is this true or not? You need to take the scriptures I'm giving you and go and back home and meditate on them. Spend time in them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so here's a couple things that I said to you a few weeks ago about the Holy Spirit that kind of help us understand that he is, in fact, a person. He is not just a force, though he is very much a force. Some of the things I said, I'm just going to give you scriptures on a couple of them. But I said he leads us, he guides us, and he teaches. These are terms given by the scriptures. Jesus said this in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. You'll find all these about the Holy Spirit. That he leads us, he guides us, and he teaches us. If someone's going to teach you, it's not talking about just a universal truth that's out there and you can absorb it. No, Jesus is saying he will teach you, Zach. He will teach you, Darius. He's talking about a very personal thing. He will teach you things. There's only a person that can teach you something particular, very personal, that you need to know for your life. How many of you You needed to know something from the Lord. You were dealing with something, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to you that gave you a truth about a particular situation you needed to know about. How many could say you've experienced that? He taught you something that you needed to know. That was very personal. Real powerful testimony, super quick. My mom, after I got radically saved, I came back from Florida where I got on fire for the Lord. And I came back and I decided I'm going to preach to my whole family, get them all saved because they all need Jesus. And so I was telling them all, you need Jesus, you know, not very wisely. You know, I just, a lot of knowledge, zero wisdom. And so I'm preaching to them. And my mom was kind of, you know, took offense to my approach, understandably. But she was struggling with it because she could also see a radical change in my life. And it was really affecting her. But one thing that was really getting on her, everyone kind of has something that kind of holds them back, was this idea that God was actually a personal God and not this force. You know, a lot of people believe in the cosmos, and there's a good force and an evil force, but they struggle with a personal God. And she was really struggling with that. And it was going on and on in her mind. Never said a word to another human being, but in her mind, it was really plaguing her. I just can't believe God knows everything about me, like me personally. There's 5+ billion people on the earth. How can he have a personal relationship with every single one of those people? I mean, how many of you had that thought? Many a time. That is a mind bender. And my mom was really struggling with this, like it was plaguing her every day, just working on her. She sees her son has been transformed in a radical way, and yet, what about this issue? And she went to this one place after she was teaching one day. She decided to stop at this restaurant, you know, have a margarita or something. I don't know what she was doing. But she went to this place to get a drink by herself, just chilling out. And it was like a restaurant bar, and she was in the bar section just to have a daiquiri or something. My mom hardly drinks. I don't know what she was drinking. But anyhow, she was just having something. And while she was sitting there by herself, a man came up to her half drunk. And he taps her on the shoulder. And my mom said at that very moment she was sitting there contemplating this issue, God, I just struggle with the idea that you could be a personal God. Tap. She turns and the man says, I know I don't look like anyone that God would use. But I just want to tell you that God told me to tell you that he is a personal God. Wow. Okay. You know, very powerful, very personal message. He knows exactly what's on your heart, and he speaks to you specifically about what you're dealing with. He teaches us. Okay, let me tell you a couple more things that he does. He has emotions. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. If, Louie, you're ready to rock and roll with me, we're going to start rolling now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says this, assuming I have the right verse. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Two things I want you to notice here. One, if you can grieve him, he's a person. You can't grieve a rock or a tree or even a force, a general force. You can only grieve a person. And also, I want you to notice it says, by whom you were sealed. Not by it, by whom you were sealed. All right, another one. I said that he has an intellect and a will. 1 Corinthians 12, and I think about verse 12 maybe. Yeah, I think it is 12. I'm just hand-picking these right now, so I don't have all these prepared. Make that 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says this, but one and the same Spirit. Now, just listed the 9 gifts of the Spirit, right? So it's talking about that there's these gifts of the Holy Spirit that he's going to give to people. You know, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, discerning of spirits, etc., right? These gifts. And then it says in the last part of this, verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually. Individually, there's not just this mass force. He's going to distribute to Peter one thing that he feels Peter needs right now. He's going to distribute to Lady another thing, right? He distributes to each one individually as he what? Wills. As he wills. It's his decision. As he wills. Do you see there? He has a will. To have a will, you must be a person. He has a will. How about Acts chapter 5, verses 1? Maybe more. I think 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 says this. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price for the land for yourself? It says here that he lied to the Holy Spirit. You can't lie to a force. You can only lie to a person.
I lied to acceleration.
You lied to what?
Acceleration.
Like a horse. Oh, okay. I
was like, see, exactly. What?
Yeah, exactly. Very good. Okay, yes, you cannot lie to, I mean, you could lie to a tree if you want, but it's kind of stupid, but you know what I mean? You can only lie to a person. He says, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Also in other parts of Acts, you see it says the Holy Spirit said to Paul. The Holy Spirit said to Philip. We won't take time to go there because I'm running out of time. The Holy Spirit said to this individual a very specific instruction and gave him instruction. So we see that he has a will. We see that he can be lied to. We see that he can be grieved. We see that the Bible calls him whom you were sealed, by whom you were sealed. The Holy Spirit is a person. All right, now. Moving on, let's go back to what I've been building is who the Holy Spirit is to you. Who is he to you and to me? What does he do? And we've gone through several things. I'm not going to take the time to review those. But we left off on number 8, which was all believers are to be led by him. And the 9th one I'm going to give you is very similar, but very different also. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit in those who are led by him. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit in those who are led by him. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16. I think I'm going to add one more to that. Sorry, Lou, I know I hold you up until I give you the whole thing. Yeah, let's do 16 and 17, and then we're going to add to that verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 16 and 17, let's just do that right now, and then we're going to do Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23 after that. So chapter 5, verse 16 and 17 of Galatians says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what's the answer to not fulfilling the lust of the flesh? Walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. I should have said verse 18, I'll just read it. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. All right, so it says that the answer to being, to not giving into the flesh is to be led by the Spirit. Now, the result of being led by the Spirit, he goes into, after that, the result of walking in the flesh, and it's a bunch of nasty stuff. But But we're going to jump down to the good stuff, which is verse 22 and 23. It says, now this is a result of being led by the Spirit. You will produce the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I mean, that alone is enough to rock your world, right? If your life is filled with love, joy, and peace, yes, I would say that that will put you in about the less than 1 percentile of the world. But there's more. That's right. But wait. He also will produce in you long-suffering. How many of you know that may sound like a bad word? That's a beautiful fruit to have in your life. Do you know it is not freedom in your life that someone can just say one word to you and you're, ah, and you just blow up at them. That's not freedom. When you have long suffering in your life, it means people can just throw all kinds of stuff at you and you're good. They just keep throwing stuff at you. They're, you know, throwing hits and everything. And you're like, yeah, you know, I understand that you have issues. You know, you don't say that. You just say it in your heart. You're like, I get it. You know, because hurt people hurt people. And that's what's going on right now. I do that too, and I want to never do that. But right now, you're the one that's doing it. I'm not going to change. You know what I mean? You're just patient. That is freedom. I love that. I'm growing in that, and I love it as I see it in me. There's so much more I have to grow, but I see the growth that I've made where people can throw all kinds of junk at me that used to fire me up, and now it doesn't even touch me. They say stuff, it doesn't touch me. It's great. My peace is undisturbed. It's a beautiful fruit you want to have. It's the Holy Spirit that produces that in you. Long-suffering is beautiful. Kindness, another beautiful fruit. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Beautiful fruits. These are all produced by the Spirit in our life. This is who the Holy Spirit is to you. He produces these things in your life. You and I need to have a relationship with Him such that we enable Him to enable us. Help me help you. What movie was that in? Jerry Maguire, I think it was. Remember in the men's bathroom? Help me help you. He did a much better job. So, Romans 8:14 also says this. Tell you what, we're going to back up on that one. Romans 8:13 and 14. Let's do that. Just keeping you on your toes back there, Louie. Yes, he can. For if you live according to the flesh... Romans 8:13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will... I'm taking a little bit of time on this because this is just so crucial to our walk. I know I'm not going to get through them all, so you know what? I'll just have to pick up on it a month from now when I get back. So even though I told you I had that one, the O-N-E message coming, and I said I was going to do it right when I get back, scratch that. That'll get pushed back a week or two. It's just good to camp out with the Holy Spirit. Just learn about Him. He's so awesome. Okay, so if you live according to the flesh, Brenna, you will die. Don't you like being pointed out on that one?
Just you also the one by the Spirit.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to do. But if you do like you do so well, Brenna, and live by the Spirit, you will live. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will put to death, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, does it sound to you by these verses that because you have the Holy Spirit in you, it's automatic that you're going to put to death the deeds of the body and you're going to live by the Spirit? If is a what word?
Conditional.
If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So every one of us, born again, totally born again, perfected in the Spirit, eternal salvation complete, sealed by the Holy Spirit, done, finito, no más, todo bien. It's done. You can still live like the devil. It's not automatic just because you're saved. You can still live like the devil. How many of you ever met some of your brothers and sisters that kind of acted like more like the devil than like Jesus? So that's why it says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. You go, well, wait a minute. I've lived by the flesh many times. I'm not dead. So you need to understand what's it saying there. It's saying it'll bring death into your emotions, death into your psychological well-being, death into your finances, death into your marriage, death into your work situation, death into your finances. Did I already say that?
Yes.
Death into your physical body, your health. It brings death. God said, in the day that you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. Did they die? Yes and no. Yes, they did die, like God said, but wait a minute, they lived. Well, they're living in a dead state now, and decay began to take place. And decay begins to take place in your and my life as we are allow the dictates of our flesh to drive us. This is what it's saying. When it says, if by the Spirit, verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, I'm going to take this one first. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. What's that mean? Let me just break that down just a little bit. If you live in such a way that every time you're in a situation that brings a point of irritation, let's say, just keep it a very mild level, it's bringing a point of irritation, you know what, do you have to go over this again? I mean, you know, are you going to do that thing again? Right? You find your flesh wanting to react. That's the dictates of the flesh. How do you know? Well, because if you were Jesus, would he be getting frustrated right now in this situation? I mean, that's just a good litmus test, you know. Just say, what would Jesus do right here? If you find yourself, there's this impulse that comes up to react. That's the easiest thing to go with when you're not trained in walking in the Spirit, because you're trained in walking in the flesh. That's all it is. You may think, this is so hard to walk by the Spirit, only because you've been given into the dictates of the flesh. So you give into that, you go, hey, I am tired of that. I am sick and tired of blah, 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 you know, and you just fire off it. That's just totally in the flesh. Right? But if you just take the moment, if I will just take that precious moment and say, don't respond right now. I feel that coming up in me. And I need to know, that's the flesh. Do I want to respond according to that? Am I going to give into that and say, Holy Spirit, what would you have me do in this situation? And you know what he's going to tell you. Love him. It's the simple answer to everything. Just love him. Right? Now, that doesn't mean you become a doormat to everyone. I mean, you know, there's certain boundaries. But I can lovingly say, you know what? That's not going to work. That's just not acceptable. But I love you. You know, boundaries are very important. So we're not talking about you just accept everything. But I don't have to say, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, you don't respond in the flesh. Respond in the Spirit. You know what? That's not going to work. Can we try it a different way? You know, or whatever. Just say it very kindly. If you do that, if I will do that, and I do that consistently, listen, here's what the Word of God says. I promise you, here's what's going to happen. It becomes your nature. Come in, your nature will begin, the nature that's inside of you will begin to take over your body and your soul. Your mind, will, and emotions will start to come in line with it. This becomes natural. This becomes what is second nature to you. And in fact, be around someone who's really mature in the Lord and try to get them fired up, mad, and act in the flesh. You'll find it's hard to do. You keep trying. You can, you know, say all kinds of things to them. You're like, it's hard to do. And yet they're not struggling. It's natural to them to walk like Christ. Because they have practiced walking according to the Spirit, and the result of it is they are truly living. They have joy all the time. They have peace all the time. You know, they're kind all the time. They're gentle all the time. They're totally self-controlled all the time. They've got life on them. Someone else that's upset all the time and they're mad all the time. And I mean, are they really enjoying life? They're really not. They're not enjoying life. They're upset all the time. You're not living when you're not letting the Spirit of God lead you. You've got to, and I have got to, just say, I'm not doing that this time. And the next time, I'm not doing that this time either. And the next time, I'm not doing that this time either. I'm going to act out of the flesh. I mean, out of the Spirit. I'm going to act out of the Spirit. I'm going to act out of the Spirit. And after a while, you start to find out, man, I can do this. This is good. I just had like 4 episodes during this last week. I totally walked in the Spirit on all of them. I don't have any regrets. I feel great. I got a clear conscience. This is great. And you find yourself living. I asked the Lord one time, I think I shared this with you a long time ago. The Lord told me one day, I was sitting in a park trying to prepare a message. I knew I was going to be teaching on that Sunday in this church. This is like 25 years ago. And the Lord spoke to me. I was preparing, I was trying to think of what I was going to preach on. The Lord spoke to me. He doesn't do this a whole lot this clearly, where he tells me what to preach. And he said, I want you to tell them about your joy. Have I mentioned this?
Yeah.
I want you to tell them about your joy. Well, that kind of stunned me. That's kind of like, seems like a strange message. Hi, I've got joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't know what else to say. I've got a lot of joy, lots of joy. You know, no, I was like, Lord, what am I supposed to say about that? So, and I started kind of drilling down on that. And long story short, I just said, I finally just had a great idea. Ask him, like, how do I have this joy, Lord? How did this happen? And so I asked the Lord, Lord, why? How do I have this joy? I mean, my joy was so incredible. My joy level was so incredible, 24/7, 365 days a year, that I oftentimes had to ask the Lord to turn it down. Because I felt like my physical body could not contain the level of joy. I'm not exaggerating one bit. It was so intense, I would have to ask him to turn it down. I can't handle this. I'm about to implode with joy. It was incredible. It would get so strong, I would have these things. I coined the phrase, I called it spirit rushes. I'd be just, all of a sudden, here it would come. It would come on me, and I'd be just like, I couldn't do anything. My eyes would just start to intensify. I could see for like as far as, just like felt like 10 or 20 miles, I could see a sparrow sitting in a tree. My whole body was just charged. It was just, it was crazy. It lasts for sometimes seconds, sometimes minutes. Just intense. And it was just a joy that was just, it was just so intense. And so I asked the Lord, how did this happen? How am I here? Here's one of the things the Lord said to me. He said, because you have a pure conscience. It was a key that I didn't understand, but Lord, the Lord unlocked a revelation to me about the power of a pure conscience. I ended up doing this whole message later, not that Sunday, on the power of pure conscience. It's a powerful message. It's awesome. But you know how you have a pure conscience? You've got to be sold out to this idea of being led by the Spirit 100% of the time. You got to just, don't write it off right now and go, that's impossible. Don't do that. You are fully capable of doing it. I'm telling you, you are fully capable of doing it 100% of the time. There's only one thing that's going to determine whether you do that or don't. Exactly, Derek. You're it. The devil can't make you do anything out of the flesh, and God's not going to make you do anything out of the Spirit. He left it up to you. Free will. I was just at a place when God came into my life so powerfully on that beautiful July 17th, 1983 day at about 8 o'clock in the evening. He came into my life so powerfully, I just said, who is this God? And I just started devouring the Word, and I started get to know him, and I made this determination, I will please God in everything that I do. And as a result, I didn't realize this was going to be a byproduct of it. A year or two of walking in that, never getting angry at anyone, never doing any, you know, never acting out of the flesh. Never. I walked in the Spirit. I found myself with a conscience that was pure. There was nothing weighing on my conscience. And a guilty conscience and condemnation pushes down on all the fruit of the Spirit. It shoves it down. It won't let it up. You're like, I've thought, the Bible says I've got joy in me. You do, always. The Bible says I've got long-suffering and self-control. I don't seem to have any, you know. It's all there. But a condemning conscience will press that down. When you are not acting out of the flesh, you'll find the most amazing thing starts to happen. You don't even realize how much it's condemning you. When you ran that red light, when you didn't tell the cashier that you actually got a 25 cents extra or a dollar extra or whatever, when you know what I mean? Even these little things, when you took that pencil from work, all those little things prick your conscience. That's why it's worth saying, I don't care how silly it seems to not take a pencil from work. I'm not taking a pencil from work. Is it my pencil? Did I buy that pencil? Then it's not mine. I'm not taking it. Now, if the workplace said you can take pencils home, great, clear conscience, I'm taking it. You know? But if you don't have that green light, then it's not yours. Leave it. As silly as it may seem, there is such a power in not defiling your own conscience. And I didn't realize this until the Lord spoke it to me and said, because you have a pure conscience. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. All the more I'm like determined. I'm never going to let anything defile my conscience, you know. So anyhow, good stuff. So I got through one more today. All right, good. Thank you. It really is. Yeah, so here's the deal. I'm just staying on this for two more minutes. I'm not going to go into another one. We have to commit ourselves to Him, to the Holy Spirit that's within us, to lead us. He is so ready at all times to lead you. He's like, let me lead you, let me lead you, let me lead you. And we act in the flesh. Ah, not that time. Next time a situation comes up, let me lead you. I want to lead you here. I want to lead you. And we act out of the flesh. Ah. Next time. Can I lead you on this one? How about this one? I know they just said that same thing to you. They've said 3,000 times. It irritates the snot out of you. But just, can I lead you? Just go up to them right now and kiss them. You know? Give them a hug. Or just say, I'm sorry. Whatever. Just let the Holy Spirit lead you. Do it. And watch what happens. All the fruits of the Spirit go, bloop. They just go up one notch. And then you do it again, bloop. They go up another notch. And just keep doing it. And after a while, you'll find yourself living. For if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds or the dictates of the flesh, you will live. For out of the heart flow the issues of life, it says in Proverbs 4, right? My son, give attention to my word, incline thy ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from your heart. For out of it flows the forces of what? Life. Out of your heart, he says, flows the forces of life. That's how you live. You got to let the forces of God on the inside of you get out and act upon that person with the fruit of the Spirit and not the dictates of your, my flesh. And you will live. But if we act out of the flesh, just know, you say, you know what? I'm going to feel better about it because I'm going to let this person have a piece of my mind. Well, you're also going to give them a piece of your life. You're just going to die a little bit right there when you do that. Every time you give them a piece of your mind, just know you're going to give them a piece of your life. It'll just go out of you and die. If you give them out of life, you get more life. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Just give life. Give life. You know? I was just thinking of another example I want to tell you, but I don't think I need to. You get it. We all get this opportunity, and let me just say this. The Greek, when it says in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, that is a present participle, led. The word led is a present participle, which means it could be absolutely very correctly and more correctly translated this way. As many as are continually being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It's a daily process. It's every minute opportunity process. So we need to be continually being led. He's with us all along. He wants to do this with you all the time. After a while, it becomes natural. And it says in Hebrews 10 something, I'm thinking maybe 25, something like that, that the mature are those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's saying by reason of use, it basically says the Greek is to be trained. It says they're trained up in walking in the Spirit is basically what it's saying. The mature, by exercising walking in the Spirit, become trained in it. It becomes second nature to them. And the next thing you know, you watch these people and you're like, man, I've never seen that guy upset. Doesn't matter, I've seen all kinds of stuff come against her or against him. And they just walk in peace all the time. That's someone who's trained, but they made the decision to walk by the Spirit. Amen? Okay, we're done. That's the end of the message. But one point of another family business, our precious sister Bliss has her car stuck outside in the snow, and we don't want to send her out there trying to push her own car out of the snow. Amen? So if we could have a couple brothers, I would love to do it, and I will if no one comes up for prayer, but I'm going to stay here for a while for people to pray. But if I could just have maybe two or three guys volunteer, there's one, yeah? And you just kind of hook up and pull it? Done. All right. Darius, you know Bliss, meet Darius. There you go, in lady. Beautiful. Do you need anyone else to be there to help or anything? You got it? Done. Beautiful. Okay. Bliss, you were unstuck.
Hey, one more thing real quick. And if you need to leave, you can. Let's pray over Brad as a family for a great month off.
Isn't that amen.
Awesome? You know what?
I agree with that prayer. Go for it.
You know what's interesting? Each day before I leave for school, and it's a little different each day, but usually I'll tell Peter and Andrew and my wife Megan, I'll bless each of them that day. And Peter's made a habit, my 3.5-year-old's made a habit of then coming up to me to give me a hug and a kiss, and he'll say, "Bless you, Daddy. Bless you, Daddy." And so there's amen. Just this neat, bless your day, Daddy. And so I'll be praying blessing over them, but then they've in turn learned to pray blessing, Peter has, over me, which, man, that just blesses my heart. So blesses me. And there's power in it. That boy's prayers get answered. And so in either case, I just want to take an opportunity as a family, kind of in the same vein, to get to bless our pastor as he's about to go on a trip. Just to bless him.
I decided I really wanted to get a photo.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm going to take two photos.
That photo
you have to sit down.
Seemed like it
I
was...
want you in it too. I'll take two, this side and the other side. Oh, yes. Sorry, Aaron. Otherwise, you're not going to get prayed for.
I'll get prayed for twice.
That's good. I like it, Darius. That's beautiful. Smile. Boom. All right, very good. That's great, Darius. I love it. Hey, I'm really going to miss you guys. I appreciate so much you giving me this time off. And I would love it if while I'm gone, just whenever you think about me, if you would just take 5 seconds even, just 10 seconds, and just ask the Lord's blessing. I really want this to be a time that... I spend to get recharged such that when I come back, I'll be just that much better of a leader for this congregation. Now, I'm excited about the being away part because I just want to get in the Word. I'm just really looking forward to spending time in the Word and just time in the, with the Lord, where I'm not even having to think about the responsibilities of the family, so that when I come back, I can come back just full on lit up, excited, and ready to go more than I already am now. But, you know, so if you want to pray into that, help me help you. Pray that it would be a rich time so that I come back just that much more charged to be a blessing to this body. But I will miss you guys. I've thought about it many times. I'm kind of thinking, like, I'm not sure how I'm going to feel about this. You know, it's already a little bit on it, like, oh, you know, going to miss you guys. So, amen.
We'll just bless Brad. Anybody else that wants to come up? You don't have to all come up, but you can. If you all come up, sometimes it gets tricky, but anybody who gets on them, feel free to. Thank you, Father, that you have given Brad to us as our pastor. And so, Father, as the body who's being blessed by him, who's being watched for by him, who's being tended to by him, who's being built up by him, we now command your blessing over him. We command an increase of your blessing upon him. An increase of your marvelous provision for him. And we specifically just appoint and anoint this month as a divine time. A divine time. Just thank you, Father, that this is a time set apart to you. It's a time set apart for Brad with you. And I thank you, Father, that your multiplication will be upon that time. Lord, your growth, your favor will be upon that time. So we speak blessing and covering over that time. It would be exceedingly abundantly more than Brad has even thought of. And Father, we just as a body expect you to be amazing to Brad this month.
Brad, I bless you to forget. I just release you from your worries, from the things that weigh down your mind. And I release you just to spend time with your mate, so to speak, with the Father. This month would be an intimate time for you and the Father to meet, to walk together, to speak with each other, and just to converse with one another. I speak a newness over your walk with God. I speak a release over the things that worry you, the things that you toil about in your mind. I release you to leave those behind and to just be with your Father this month. That this is the time that he wants just to be with you this month.
I think that should bear some good fruit. Amen. Hey, it doesn't have to stop there, too. If you've got more on your heart to pray, like Brad said, you can do that just as you think of them. In the meantime, we're really excited for the next month here. There's going to be some new things, some special things. So I'm excited for Brad to come back to a church increasingly on fire.
Maybe one other guy to come with me and Bliss, just in case there's any to keep an eye.